SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two, about a little less than 10 in, and Johnny D standing by, and I could hear through the glass a chance for Casey and John to talk, and of course, basically, I guess Johnny Case is pretty much the second or maybe the third person you talk to every week to start the week, but he's been talking to Johnny for 12 years on Mondays. Johnny, good morning.
Stevie, how are you, my man?
Good. We're good. Nice to be back down here.
You're down there in the sunshine. It's great. I mean, like many of the listeners, I realize the key to the card is Casey. It's not you. Your name's on the show, but just, you know, I mean, you'd be sitting at home talking to yourself if it wasn't for Casey.
I do that on Saturdays and Sundays just to stay warm.
It's great to have him back.
Very much, and happy to be down here. I got a lot to cover with you, and I guess we'll do like in a corporate gathering, old business and then new business. Let's actually, before we do anything else, I want to make sure we cover off the result from two Saturdays ago and the Express Bet Live contest.
Yeah, I think we'll get old business and new business taken care of here, because Express Bet Live, it was an exciting tournament, because we had right at the end of the tournament, we had a 19-1 shot, I believe that was the number, win the last race, the last mandatory race. And it kind of flipped the whole board. It was pretty amazing, because you have someone like a guy named Bill Colgan was on the lead heading into the last race, and he ended up 11th or 12th. So, you know, the whole board just flipped. And the winner, James Trapinski, came from 9th. Gary Gristick, 2nd, came from 21st. Anson Williams, 3rd, a familiar name in Express Bet, came from out of nowhere. John Williams from nowhere. And the rest of the top 10, Scott Fitzgerald, Joe Corey, they came from out of the clouds, Mike Camacho and David Hatfield, scoring on that big winner in the last race. And, you know, I've played in tournaments. I've listened to tournament people discuss things, and I've heard people say, oh, it's terrible when, you know, someone, they're all shooting at bombs in the last race, and somebody catches a bomb and they win. I understand the sentiment, but first of all, you've got to pick the right bomb. I mean, there are, in most cases, three or four horses that are big prices, so you've got to pick the right bomb. The bomb has to be big enough to vault you to the top, and you have to have not given up. You have to still be playing the game, and you have to be in reasonably good position to where a bomb is going to help you. So I think it's not just that stabbing, you know, is an issue. I hear people complain about it all the time, but I'm trying to look at it, you know, a different way. It's like when those guys hold up their fingers when you come to the fourth quarter of a football game and they hold up the four fingers. Whatever the contest is, if it's 10 races, it's 10 races. I mean, you suppose the bomb occurred in the third race. Well, those guys wouldn't be shooting for bombs. Well, maybe, maybe not, but they found the right one in the last race. It's kind of like a baseball game, being up 9-0 in the ninth and losing 10-9. I mean, it happens, so maybe you should have been up 11-0. Then you wouldn't have lost, you know. I think it's part of the game, and I think it's an exciting part of the game, and obviously we're rooting for everyone, and as far as the results of Express Bet Live, it turned out really well. I'm sure some people wish it had turned out a little differently, especially in the last race. But we'll have 30 people from Live, 30 people from Showdown, 30 people from Beat the Host, 30 people from Live, 30 people from Beat the Host, meeting in Showdown, which is this Saturday. This is a new business we're going to take care of. If you want to play Showdown, $300 entry fee. If you haven't qualified, we've got 60 qualifiers. First prize, $20,000. $300 entry fee, $20 win wagers, one horse in each of 10 races. As I said, 20 to the winner, 8 to second, 6 to third, 4 to fourth, and 2 to fifth. So plenty of money to go around. You want to take a shot at ExpressBet Live. There's no takeout, no rank, no skim. ExpressBet's putting up the bread. It's a little pricey for most players, $300 entry fee. That's why we suggest, you know, earning your way in either Beat the Host or Live, and then $200 in wagers. Good news is, wagers are live. So if you hit one or two or three, you know, reasonably priced horses, you can end up paying for the whole day. A $20,000 prize, and I guess you're going to have roughly 80 players, maybe 100 players, 80, probably 80 to 100, somewhere in there, maybe let's say 90. It's a pretty good way to go. So that's Express Bet Showdown this weekend for account holders only. You can have a maximum of 2 entries per account holder. So we'll see you Saturday to do that. Al, what else do you have?
Well, now we can, with that business taken care of, it's obviously Dubai World Cup week, and it's Florida Derby week. We've just wrapped up Sunland Derby and Louisiana Derby, and last week the Rebels. Give us everything, Johnny. This is tailor-made for you to deliver the Gettysburg Address.
Yeah, I forgot that we hadn't talked about the Rebel, but, you know, you start off by looking at the two Baffert runners who, well, I think they both ran well. They both had wide trips, but yeah, if you're Bob Baffert, you're not happy about getting beat. Two unblemished records go by the boards, but also I don't think you feel badly where you are right now in the big scheme of things, which, if we're talking about the big scheme of things, I did some looking here. I don't know if I have this right. I think you have it right. As of today, we've had 16 different prep race winners. 16 consecutive different prep race winners. I mean, War of Will was the last one to duplicate. He won on January 19th. He won the comp, and then he came back and he won the Risen Star on February 16th. But, so if you stretch it back, it's 16 consecutive races, which kind of tells you all you need to know about this year's race to the Derby. talk about wide open. You really have to give, you know, a nod of the cap to both Rebel winners. I think, Richard Mandela's Omaha Beach, outstanding race. Game winner was getting to him at the end, but still, he hung on, did a really nice job going from a maiden race where it took him five starts to break his maiden, and then he wins the Rebel. And then in the other division, you know, also... a great race. improbable, not getting there. Long range Toddy flying down the stretch. Nice to see John Court with a really patient, beautiful ride, getting long range Toddy on the middle of the track, coming to close and catching improbable. Now, you know, for both game winner and improbable, you say, well, maybe they needed the race. If they did, they'd be the first Baffert 3-year-olds to ship to Arkansas that ever needed a race. However, they both had wide trips, and they hadn't been out in a while, and they had a lot of rain this winter at Santa Anita, so they had to kind of move, juggle around. So, all right, let's give them that. They both ran well. Long range Toddy, very nice race, and Omaha Beach. Game winner seemed to be getting to them, but as they galloped out, which I'm not a big gallop out guy, but game winner never went by them. So credit to those. And then as we move forward to this past weekend, Louisiana Derby, what was amazing about this race, or not amazing, but strange, is that like in the middle of the stretch, they were like, you could cover the field with a blanket. I mean, the entire field was within 3 or 4 lengths of each other. And that was about mid-stretch. So when you see that in a race, it's clear that there's no real dominant runner in the field. The first three in that race were close up. First three finishers were close up early. And by my standards, I know you just talked to Brett Calhoun. What an absolutely perfect trip this horse had. It was a dream trip. He got to save ground. He got the split. He got room between horses. And he was fit and ready to get the job done. Just a very nice race from him. You have to remember that he did have, a perfect trip. Spinoff had a three-wide trip. He made the lead. He really had no excuse. He fired him there. But by my standards, had a dream run. And that might have made the difference in the race. I'm not sure that, well, I put it this way. I'm not sure that any of the ones we've seen are, boy, it's tough this year. I'm not ready to put the stamp of approval on anyone. Now, you go to the Sunland Derby and Cutting Humor, just barely got home. I thought that was an outstanding ride. Johnny Velasquez just, he's in the Hall of Fame for a reason. I think this is the kind of race. He got the jump. He got the jump on the field, and that's really what made the difference in the end. Another twist of fate. Boy, a really nice race. He had a pretty good trip in there, but he kind of, it's a trade-off. It's always a trade-off. You're going to save ground, and then he had to angle out. He had to get out from behind horses. And meanwhile, Johnny V got the jump on him from the outside and clear and opened up in the stretch. And by the time another twist of fate got out and got rolling, it was just a hair too late. He just couldn't get there. But he answered the question about whether he could handle a dirt track. The answer is yes, he can. So he's a really interesting runner going forward, because he really kicked it into a nice gear. And I think at this point what we're looking for are horses that have that extra gear who are going to be, either firing, heading into that turn, into the stretch, like slingshotting into the stretch with a head full of steam. Looking at the roster of horses that we have, if the Derby were today, looking at roughly the starting lineup, I see an abundance of stalkers, horses who want to just sit second, third, and then kick, and want to open up and hang on, or second and third and want to kick, but they don't really have a big finishing kick. They don't draw off. They just kind of get there, you know. And then you look at some of the closers that we have, and we're still looking for, I think, a real legitimate beast to close. Certainly, another twist of fate had that kind of look about him, had that kind of closing kick that you want to see. I think Bourbon War showed that closing kick, and we'll see more of him in the ExpressBet.com Florida Derby this week. He had that level out and then kick finish that you want to see. But we don't have that real high cruising speed Tiger that we've seen the last few years, and it seems to have been like the new recipe. Now we can't rule out, you know, a horse like Improbable, who may be in that mold. But, you know, we gotta see him again. But he's got that kind of ability. But at three, let's see if he's got that domination that he had before. Didn't look like it the other day. He made the lead and he got caught. That's not supposed to happen with a Bob Baffert horse in Arkansas. It's just not supposed to happen. So, very interesting kind of lineup, because the Stalkers are going to try and get that first run, and who are they going to stalk? Somebody's going to have to go to the lead. You know, it's like, and I know it's early to be looking at this stuff, but it's not crazy early. You know, we've got a few more races where if new faces win, we'll have different horses in the lineup. I guess you could say Hidden Scroll could be that kind of, you know, speed horse who, although they're teaching him to stalk now. I don't know if he'll be stalking in the Florida Derby or not, but I would assume he would based on what happened in the last race and based on how they've been training him. So let's see what happens. But he seems to have that kind of early gas that I'm talking about. This roster so far seems to lack a little bit. So those are just my crazy thoughts at this point. I don't know how much validity they have, but it's just the way I kind of feel. And what we're looking at is, you know, a bunch of horses that like to just, they kick, but they're not really finishing with gusto. And someone's closing and getting close. And if you think about it, we've seen a couple of mile and eighth races. Now we're going to see, you know, another couple of mile and eighth races. But that mile and a quarter, now I know in the Derby, you've got to be in position. But these closers, I'm talking about closers here, they're not coming from, you know, way far back. They're coming from mid package. So they're not going to have a ton of ground to make up in the Derby. They've got some kick, and they're going to be reasonably close. So that's where I'm at now. You try and get a feel for how that race might be run, and I'm seeing a lack of real early speed. May change with these, you know, we've got plenty of races, a couple of races left.
Well, let's also fold in yesterday evening, and for those that haven't had a chance to absorb the Sunland Park Derby, you ended up with, I didn't really understand, I suppose the inside post forced Joe Talamo's hand to some extent, but you already were hoping that if you were a Mucho Gusto fan, you were hoping that, you know, the stretch out was going to work for him. And on pedigree, there's no reason why you wouldn't think, there's no reason why it shouldn't. But under the circumstances, for him to be, you know, hustled out and basically, you know, setting a sprint pace. That was not the way to go about it. I mean, 22-3, 45-3, 109-3. So that you knew at some point he was going to wilt. But in the meantime, between cutting humor and another twist of fate, and another twist of fate continues to be the intriguing entity, Johnny. I'm delighted that. Yeah, the way he came again and finished strongly. In fact, you know, it looked to some degree like Hernandez was doing what John Court did last week at the Rebel. You know, kind of keeping attendance, but then you know, letting his horse, you know, basically you know, letting his horse know, you know, you don't have to stay so close, and then coming with the finish. I think people. Going to keep very close track of another twist of fate coming out of this. And, you know, for those that are you know, thinking, well, you know, cutting humor barely held on, not exactly. He's a horse that you have to keep after. He's a horse that idles when he strikes the front. So a little tricky to ride. And Johnny V, you know, back with him, he's a horse that, you know, is a bicycle horse, as they say, you know, you got to keep riding him. So the top pair, you know, both come out and both seem to be, you know, well situated. In terms of figure, 95 buyer, which is respectable enough, a track record for cutting humor and another twist of fate was beaten a neck. I thought both of them acquitted themselves well, and be interesting to see what Baffert wants to do with Mucho Gusto. People are going to say, "Oh, he should turn back." I want to hear what Baffert thinks because it seems like this was a bit of a waste when the idea was supposed to be to stretch him out, and you know you would work so hard to get him to try to rate a little bit, and then he quarter horses out.
Well. You know, I think the real post position choice was Dan, and Baffert was clear in an interview that I'd rather not be there. You know, I'd rather be outside, and I think that especially with that horse in that situation, Telmo was kind of locked in. I mean, he's a speed horse. He's got other speed horses in the race. He's a favorite. You don't want to get stuck down inside where everybody's, you know, taking shots and keeping you there. So I understand what happened in the race. You're right. He set blazing fractions and held on for third. So that's to his credit. Probably not exactly how you wanted the race to go. But another thing to remember is that, you know, when you think about trainers, especially trainers with many horses, like a Pletcher or a Baffert, with several three-year-old contenders. They pick these races. I mean, Baffert's going to send, he's not going to send his A-team to Sunland Park. I know the race is $800,000, and that's plenty of reason to go, but he's not going to send the A-team there. He will keep the A-team at Santa Anita, or he'll send the A-team to Hot Springs. But the ones he sends to Sunland usually are not the A team. So you got to kind of keep that in mind when you're looking at it. Also, with Pletcher, that was, you know, the right spot for a cutting humor. These trainers who have many horses and Hall of Fame trainers or Hall of Fame to be trainers, they judge their horses so well. They know where they fit. So, again, you look at the Sunland Derby overall, and you say, well, that's Baffert's third string. Yeah, he ran game and everything, but that's his third string. And cutting humor may not be Pletcher's first string either. You got to kind of keep that in the back of your mind. However, for another twist of fate, this was the spot for him. It was a perfect spot for him. He is. Blaine's first team. You know, he's not A, you know, B or C. He's the A team, and this race fit perfectly coming out of the Golden Gate race. You know, this was the perfect spot for Blaine Wright to get a nice race into this horse, to get points to earn some money to see if he likes dirt. I mean, it was just everything just to get a mile and an eighth into him. Boy, this one. And you know, we've talked about so many times, and we're faced with it again with War of Will. We talk so many times about things have to go perfectly. You can't have hiccups along the way. And for another twist of fate, this one hit him right between the eyes. This was perfect. I want to see, excuse me, what the thoroughbred figure is in relation to, you know, how much energy it sapped out of him, how big an effort it was. But he's got time now leading to the Derby. He can handle dirt. He can finish. He's proven so many things. He can sit. He can relax. He can kick. Question is he good enough? He sure looks good enough. So we got to kind of, you know, work that into the equation. But you're right. You're absolutely right. He's so interesting. And because things are going so well for him, as you start to go down for the list, go down through the list, you take each horse and say, how did it go with this guy? Did everything work out for him? Or did we need to make an excuse somewhere along the way? Because if you need to start making excuses, that's not the best thing. You know, this is the toughest race to win, the Kentucky Derby, because it's the first Saturday in May. That's it. You never get another one. You never get a second chance. You never learn. Then, no, this is it. And you are bound by the calendar. And so, you know, while you may want to say, well, that race, he was wide the whole way. Yeah, but be careful. Don't make too many excuses. And another twist of fate is just had everything go really well for him. There are going to be other horses if that's the case. But my point is, he's in the race. Just everything is there. Now he can train him right up to the race. Is he good enough? I don't know. If my theory is correct, and that's Baffert's third string, and that's Pletcher's, you know, second, third, you know, string this year, I don't know. I don't know if he's good enough, but he sure looked it.
Well, and one thing about the performance, if you're another Twist of Fate fan, and certainly the people that have got him, you know, at almost 40-1 in the last round of future wagers, this is the first time he hasn't been on the lead, and he was attending the pace, and Hernandez got him to relax behind horses, and I saw where somebody, I put up the figure this morning, and somebody was criticizing Hernandez. About his ride. Oh, if he'd stayed on the rail, he would have won. He was the best horse. You got to stop with that stuff. And I mean, he ran as good a race as he was going to run, and there's nothing wrong with an inside-outside trip. And you also, if you'd stayed inside, you could have run the risk of Mucho Gusto stopping in your face, and then you got a different issue. So criticizing J.J. Hernandez seems... silly. But I this looks like a horse that another furlong is not going to be a problem for. So that's part of this. Those finishing the Jenny Reese final three furlongs at a mile and an eighth is going to come into it. You want those 37, 36 and change, 37, 37 and one types that portend well for the next, the next level. There was a lot to like about the Sunland. And listen, the Sunland Derby's been productive. It's not as if the Sunland Derby hasn't, produced some serious horses the last 7-8 years, going back to Mind That Bird and more. He was by far. Yeah, what about Firing Line too? You've had no shortage of horses come out of this race, even with the 6 week lead time. It's funny. It's the Louisiana Derby that has struggled in that in that 6 week window since it moved there. Not that the seven week used to give people an opportunity to run again. And the one race, Johnny, that I haven't seen, it's funny, the one race I keep pretty close tabs on the probables at Derby Trail, and I haven't seen anybody mention the Lexington yet as a alternative prep, for those that that need that intermediate stop. So I'm going to watch for that too. From these no man's land races, the Tampa Bay and this weekend.
Yeah, the other thing that's going to happen right now is you're going to have some guys trying to get points who are going to pick on, trying to get some spots to get into the Derby. You're bottom of the list right now. You're around, 21, 24, and you got lots of points still out there, so there's going to be some shuffling. I've always found it interesting I found two things interesting. Since the points structure has come into play, I don't think, which I don't know, how long has it been? Has it been 10 years? I don't know off the top of my head. 15? I don't know how many years it's been since the points were instituted. You remember, Steve?
The points?
Yeah, the point system.
It's not that long.
Ten years?
Yeah, 10's about right.
Yeah. And I don't, in that time, I can't remember saying to myself, oh, this horse belonged in the Derby and couldn't get in. I really can't. There may have been some that their connections thought they belonged in the Derby, but I can't ever remember saying to myself, I wish this horse had made the Derby because I wanted to bet him. So my point being that with what we have left, you're going to see some other horses emerge. And when the dust settles, if you don't have enough points, you probably don't belong there. That's the way it's been. Now, this year is so crazy, maybe this is finally the year where you say, hey, that horse belonged in the Derby and he didn't make it. I can't think of anyone. Can you?
There was one horse. Who was it that ended up 22nd or 21st? This might be about 4 or 5 years ago. There might be one. I mean, it's not. It hasn't been a source of frustration. That's true.
Now, what has been a source of frustration since the points were instituted or for several recent years is that favorites have dominated the race. And not only just favorites, but first favorite, second choice, third choice, they've run very well. The public's done a very good job. And maybe the points do that. Maybe the points sort things out very well. In other words, you've played in this tournament, and you've gotten points for your, how well you've done, and that's really stacked. Here's the best at the top, and here's the second best, and that's kind of stacked the talent. And it's turned out to be that, yes, that's the way they are. That's who's the best. And so it's made for some compressed payoffs in some of the Derby exotics. But that may not be the case this year. When you can have 16 Triple Crown prep races, the Kentucky Derby prep races, across the nation, and not have a duplicate winner? Wow. Wow. Talk about wide open. That's as wide open. It can't get any more wide open than that.
Well, the potential, of course, this next round and... And before we wrap, before we wrap up, Johnny, a couple of notes on the next round. I gave everybody the rundown on the Florida Derby, where Code of Honor will look to repeat, and of course, there's potential for Harvey Wallbanger, I suppose, too, because he's going to come out of the last start win. So that was that was the Holy Bull. But you've also got the horses. You got four. You know, you got four North American runners that are going to participate in the UAE Derby, based on the pre-entries. Pliska Parfait for Brendan Walsh and Peter Miller with the Grey Magician. Peter Miller emptied the barn and took him to Dubai. Stubbins shows up in here for Doug O'Neill and Greco for McPeak. Then there's the usual assortment of, you know, seven or eight Godolphins and, you know, a couple of other pilot fish. The other potential winners, how about the Wood Memorial next week? Heichel is going to try to parlay from the Gotham. And that field is really morphing into a battle royal. For those that haven't seen it, you're up to like 10 or 11 in the wood. The bluegrass doesn't have anybody. Well, I guess some like it hot. I guess would be a potential repeat winner off the spiral, off the not the spiral, the Jeff Ruby, and then the Santa Anita Derby wouldn't have. You can't really count. The group there that is shaping up, I suppose Omaha Beach, Omaha Beach and Long Range Toddy, if they both show up in the Arkansas Derby, they would have repeat opportunities. We should mention Gray Attempt, by the way. If you didn't see the gazebo, Gray Attempt was very good with Jinx Fires using that as a prep for the Arkansas Derby. Kind of an old school, which is Jinx Fires, right? You look up old school, and there he is. Why not win $100,000 stake at the same time?
You talk about your great guys.
Yeah, that's tremendous. There's a few more opportunities for some horses. Technically, Tax would be looking to repeat, right, out of the Withers. So there's a few.
You know, there's a few, but guess what? There's been a few already, and they didn't do it.
By the way, my friend Dan has sent a note. 2013 was your point system inauguration. 2013, okay. So ninth year.
Ninth.
What am I talking about? No, I'm sorry.
No, 13,
I, yeah,
year.
I know. I was thinking.
Sixth year. Well, we weren't that close. We missed by.
Yeah, it didn't. Yeah, no, it didn't. It's funny. It feels like it because it gets so much conversation and because there's been so much, you know, since the whole run of favorites. Yeah. And a big part of it, Johnny, is the speed. You know, the taking out of the cheap speed. Not to malign the Trinibergs of the world, but you know that's made a big impact, and there's no doubt that it's kind of negated the opportunity for chaos.
It certainly has affected it a bit, and because when we had the money, even when we were picking Derby starters by the money. Qualifying Derby starters by money earned in graded stakes races. I don't ever remember saying, this horse should be in there. He's not in there. You know, so that worked too. I mean, they both work at sorting out who the top three-year-old runners are for the Kentucky Derby. And I guess we've diminished the opportunity for a filly to be in there, and we've pretty much erase the chance that a sprinter is going to be in there. That's not accomplished at a distance. So those two factors, have contributed. But maybe the last six years have been just, that's the way it's been. We've had two Triple Crown winners in those 6 years. So maybe the best horses were much the best horses.
Well, and that's the way you'd like to think about it. I mean, you did have two Triple Crown winners within that scheme.
6 years, yeah.
So,
and where did we go? We went 30 something years without one, and we had two in a row. We had two back close together. Anyway.
Well, Johnny, we got 2 weeks put into this one visit, and looking forward to the weekend. We got. Really, the next 2 weeks go a long way, and then with the Arkansas Derby. Not a standalone these days, certainly, but to some degree with the Lexington is run. It used to be a week later, but the Lexington now on the 13th when the Bluegrass moved to 4 weeks out, the Lexington moved up. So we got the serious business here between now and Arkansas Derby Day.
No doubt about it. And this Saturday, with what's going on at Gulfstream, I mean, you've got. Look, I know you aren't a Rainbow Six fan, but that pool is over $2 million now. When racing resumes Thursday this week, it was. I'm not going to say easy because it's never easy, but it was somewhat predictable yesterday. I think it paid $1,100 for a 20-cent wager, and it was not crazy at all. When that pool gets up to $2 million, you almost have to play it every day because if you have six, it's really worth it. It's a 20-cent wager. They're going to give it all away if no one hits it between now and Florida Derby Day. So ExpressBet.com, Florida Derby, you've got that giant Rainbow Six guaranteed giveaway, if it makes it that far. You've got the Dubai World Cup earlier in the day. It ends up, last year I think we had a similar situation. We had the Rainbow Six had a gigantic pot, and they were giving that away. It was a force out. What a great day of racing. I mean, if you're on the East Coast, you start in the morning and you go all day long. If you're on the West, you have to get up a little earlier to catch Dubai, but then you just don't stop till late in the afternoon. You'd be followed by Santa Anita racing this year. So and they've got some big races scheduled. They've kind of juggled the schedule around a little bit. I think they've got the Kilroy Mile, I think, is on Saturday. So Saturday is a huge day. I'm going to find my chair, and I'm not going to leave it from sunrise to sunset.
In the Johnny D. bunker.
In the dungeon.
Well.
Stevie, great to have Casey back, isn't it?
Absolutely. Without a doubt. And, for those that were looking, for in terms of the taping and the delivery of the podcast, everything back to normal for you today. So, Johnny, I appreciate it, and we'll have plenty to recap next Monday. I'll be here next Monday. Then on Tuesday, go to Santa Anita. We'll be there for they've now scheduled 14 stakes for Santa Anita Derby Day. Actually, I think it's just 7 or 8, but the rescheduling of stakes. It's going to be a big Saturday, actually, this Saturday, with, I think, 6 stakes, including the Kilroy and the San Carlos and much more. And then after Santa Anita, the following Tuesday, we'll go to Arkansas and do our now traditional Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from Hot Springs. And looking forward to that. And I guess I'll be the official escort service to bring show Andy Serling Hot Springs as Andy makes his first trip to Oklahoma.
He'll fit in well.
Yes,
he'll bring his cowboy hat. I'll tell you what, Hot Springs, what a wonderful place that is. I was fortunate enough to spend some time there. Long time ago. What a great place. And this extending of the meet is
it's going to be a home run.
Idea.
It's going to be a home run.
I had the pleasure to tell Casey or to commiserate with Casey about the fact that we are so fortunate to both have wonderful wives that are able to get you through tough times. And I don't think Gail is good enough to sub for me on the show, but Casey's wife, Jolynn, she was able to step in and substitute for him at the office. So I thought that was out of sight.
And I'm fairly convinced that if we brought Jackson, their daughter, in, that Jackson could probably, she would, it wouldn't take much to get her rolling in this. Casey's got it tough because, as you heard from the beginning of the show, he's got three women to answer to. He's got his mother, he's got Jolene, and then he's got the daughter. So he's right? You're, okay, you're like, you got three looking after you.
He could look at the positive side. He's got three women to take care of him.
Exactly, exactly. Well, and they're on high alert to get him healthy. We're going to take a break right here. Peter Urton is going to join us. Speaking of Santa Anita, want to get Peter in here. We'll talk to him about his view of things, as well as the win by Core Beliefs. We'll thank Johnny D for the visit and getting caught up from the last 2 weekends. And as we head out, too, you know, I want to mention this. Maybe we'll give Carlo a call next. We'll do it for next Monday. But I want to mention for Sunday, I should say, you know, the PDJF has got their telethon again, and that'll be on TVG, noon to 7 on Sunday, April 7th. And then tonight at Frank and Dino's, they've got the PDJF fundraiser as well, with everybody in town for the sale. Good timing. So Carlo's relocated Frank and Dino's. I have not seen the new place. I've seen some pictures. But, of course, the long-standing location in Deerfield, and they moved over to Boca Raton. We should play the Jeffersons theme. They went uptown. They from Deerfield to the mansion in the sky in Boca. I'll get you the time and the details for tonight. But Peter Urton is going to join us next. I've also got to talk to you about Crazy Gladiator King. Unbelievable. Jaime Mejia wins the Hutchison. Yeah, well, we got to talk about this horse. And a couple of other, there was also, what was the other stake? There was the Dead Heat, Sano and Delgado, with Miss Marcella and Brunette Princess. And both by Bodemeister, the Bodemeister Dead Heat in the Any Limit. Hunani Road, too, for Catalano, overwhelmed that no double. The Arkansas Breds. Back after this. Peter Urton.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer, and...
RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.